B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Toronto Maple Leafs, after saying they were intimidated last year in the first two games of the playoffs against the Bruins, are going to come in and win game one. They scored twice in the second period, added on an empty netter here in the third period as the horn sounds. And game one is complete. Your final, the Toronto Maple Leafs 4 and the Boston Bruins 1 in this best of 7 opening round matchup.
Oh, Bruins looked good last night.
Wow. Can we play the other ending call?
What a waste of time that was.
I'd rather hear the Leafs. Give me the Leafs ending call.
I really did. That game sucked so bad that by the end, I thought, what a waste of time this was watching.
It's disappointing.
Because you get excited for the playoffs to start, and then you watch that and say, this is garbage. You watched the third period? Because I didn't. I just turned it off.
No, I said in the back room to Jim.
I did. I checked out.
I said in the back room to Jim, I said, game two's a must win for me. He goes, not necessarily with hockey and I, but Jim and I aren't talking anymore. So
I didn't go for the two TVs last night. Some gum? The Bruins were down, and I said the Bruins are gonna go on the iPad, and I barely looked at it. UMass game didn't start till 8:45. That was a good hockey game. That was a game worth watching. Bruins not so much. All right. So now the Bruins are down and trail the Toronto Maple Leafs. Do you feel differently about the series? Do you feel differently about how good the Maple Leafs are?
Well, they have home ice now. Yeah, I do. I do feel differently about them. They're a faster team. I know they were that fast. Looked like you were skating in mud again. And some of the skill set, that pass by Kadri, I know I call him Kadri, but Kadri, and the way that finish was, just even the penalty shot, like Tuukka had no chance at it, their skill set's pretty damn good. That's what I feel about them. They got good young players.
Skilled group.
Good, fast, quick players.
Center play, very important in this series. And you know what? It felt like the Bruins were following them all
night
long.
What do you want? You're getting your ass kicked and you get five shots in the second period set everything.
It felt like they were chasing. And so much is made of having the last change when you're home. And sometimes that's not a great thing. Sometimes it mentally screws you up.
Yeah.
You become too concerned with what the other team is doing. They felt too concerned
with
what Toronto was doing last night.
They chased dogs all night.
That's
dogs
how it
chasing
felt.
Cars.
Like they're chasing these guys around. Yeah. They're not carrying the play. Toronto's carrying the play here for much of the night. And the Bruins were sort of trying to react to it.
Are they better coach or have better talent?
It led to some stupid things along the way. So when I hear after the game when a guy like Brad Marchand says, they didn't take us off our game. We didn't play our game. We didn't bring our game. I believe him. I think he's telling the truth. I think that's an accurate way of describing what happened there last night. My thought on the series hasn't changed because I don't think we saw the actual Bruin. That was their worst game in a long time.
It was like that Saturday game I went to.
There was no real importance in that game.
Yeah, my kid's birthday.
That's not important to them.
Oh. They played birthday music.
For him?
Not for him. For the general birthdays.
Oh, for the general.
Yeah, then I totally forgot to call his name in. He read all the names.
For the general birthday crowd.
Name one up there, Dad. It was up there first. You missed it.
The Bruins defensively last night. Listen, we'll get to Tuukka. But the Bruins defensively last night, not very good.
No.
There's no one defensively that you would write home about from that game last night. Krug had that great pass on the goal, but that's in an offensive way that he was great.
Yeah.
Defensively.
Krug's great.
Yeah. Defensively, there was no one defensively that you'd look at and say they had a good night. They were really helping the cause. In fact, I think Tuukka Rask looked old and slow. And I am never one to jump on that train because a lot of people do it all the time.
I thought yesterday to start to
But
show.
The speed of the game last night looked to be a bit much for Zdeno Chara. I don't think that happens often. I don't think that's been the case as we've taken
You're
all your
silly. Rask or Chara?
We've taken
you
all
said
your
Rask. Or Rask.
What did I say?
You said Rask looked slow as molasses.
Oh, what did I say? I'm talking about
but
Chara.
Then you want the Chara.
Okay. I'm talking about Chara.
Just make it short, Chara.
All right, because...
It started with Rask.
Oh, sorry, I misspoke.
No.
Yeah, I'm talking about Chara.
Yes.
seemed at times that
call screener. Sorry, I'm a little distracted. Go ahead. Yeah,
methodical position style of play was it's the nicest way to say it. Ill suited to the tempo of last night's contest.
Yeah. Yep.
Just a little half a step here or there every once in a while. Didn't notice it the whole night, but I did see it a couple of times, and I was trying to defend it in my own mind.
Isn't everybody else that he plays with and the people you put around him and the different lines that you use, aren't they supposed to take some of that pressure off him? Don't we know the guy's age?
Yes.
Don't we appreciate what he does? But
yes.
To think, you know, you say like a goalie at times should stand on her head, that your 6'9" defensive freak should go and steal games in the back end. I think he needs help at this stage of his career.
Yeah, I think he does too.
A couple of years ago, he could do that. He obviously can't do that now. You know, to sit here, but we're gonna blame him a lot because that's what it looks like. It's like this guy's this fast, this guy's this fast, and it's comparable. You could sit here and say, "Wow, they got outclassed, they got outmatched last night." That team looked a lot better, but that's not the Bruins team we've seen. So I hold out hope. Like with you, I don't think the series is dead. It isn't dead. There's a lot of hockey left.
So
don't lose Saturday.
Wouldn't you say that someone like Charlie McAvoy should help pick up the slack defensively?
Yes.
How did you feel he played
energy.
Last night?
Same as him.
Meh.
Energy. Team lacked energy last night for some reason.
They didn't have anybody to help pick up any of that slack. The intensity and the speed of the game gets a little bit more at this time of year. We all know that. And you're dealing with a team that is fast and is skilled. You are. They are. They are those things.
Yeah.
I think the Bruins are better. But this is why I look at this and say, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but if you look ahead, if you're trying to look ahead and you're thinking about a potential matchup with a team like Tampa Bay, this doesn't get easier. But that's for a different day because I still think the Bruins are going to win this series.
They should.
I do.
Let's go.
They didn't play their game. They're going to have to hit the reset button. They're going to have to play a lot differently than what they did last night.
National audience Saturday night, baby. So big stage. Everybody's watching that one.
Yeah, it's still hockey. I wouldn't say everybody's watching.
Well, I know, but everybody in the hockey world. You know what I'm saying? It's hockey playoffs.
All hockey
fans. If
you're
going out of your way to watch
the hockey
playoffs.
All of Canada will watch. Saturday night, Maple Leafs
Canada
are
will be watching. Yes. 617-779-0985. We'll get to the goaltending coming up, but why don't we get to your calls right away on last night's game. Bruins lose game one. Johnny in Somerville, what'd you make of the game?
I thought it was terrible defensively. I don't see what it is with Charlie McAvoy. He's, you know, supposed to be this true number one defenseman. He's a 97. He's been in the league for 3 years. You see this kid Heiskanen from Dallas taking over the series versus Nashville. He can't get back and defend on pucks. I don't see it with him. I really don't. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, there's also a chance that he might be dealing with an injury. What was the report the other day? Twisted his knee, right? And needed to sort of...
Yeah, the camera guy's got some good video from ABC Sports Boston of him getting tangled up and falling and knocking down. I forget who he got tangled
up
with.
Wasn't that his pre-existing one, though?
Oh, it was back.
It was coming back from?
Yeah, so he's out near the blue line, and he's trying to control the puck, and he sort of gets caught from behind, and he falls back. It just looked like he twisted it awkwardly. But I don't know. I mean, he didn't look to have any real issues with it last night. Maybe it's just sore. Maybe he's just dealing with pain. It's a pain tolerance thing. I have no idea. But he doesn't look good. Nobody defensively looked good. Sorry. It's just a real bad night for the Bruins defensively. And it wasn't a good night for Jake DeBrusque either. Oh, boy.
That TNR bump.
Yeah. Speed bump today.
TNR hole.
Speed bump.
They bring the tractors in and dig that hole?
Not good.
What are we going to do now?
Not good. That was a dumb, dumb mistake.
Fred's happy. He doesn't have to come in and work tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. You had him on the clock tomorrow.
I had him on the clock tomorrow for our hockey
show.
You had
him on the clock. Yeah, that's good.
He hit that wall pretty hard, man.
Nobody played well. Grizzlick didn't play well.
Pasternak didn't play well.
Yeah, it's just who really played well?
Krejci did okay.
Yeah. I mean, okay. He's okay. Pat in the
he
car.
He scored one goal.
Hey, Pat.
One freaking
goal.
Hey,
guys. Yeah, I haven't lost my face yet.
Good.
Bruins in the series. But as far as the teeing up, the brush bump goal, I would say that's probably safe to say that's done. Charlie Coyle, he just didn't do it for me before the Bruins got him. And he does not. How many chances did he have last night? That guy couldn't put the puck in the ocean.
What is with that? Yeah, we were talking about this on our text chain last night.
Amazing.
What is it? Because when he has the puck, he looks good with the puck.
McAvoy?
He does. Yes. Yeah. No.
He's a disher.
Charlie Coyle.
He's a disher. far as scoring, he cannot do it.
It's almost like the puck can't find his stick when he has an opportunity.
That's a sad part, too,
score.
Because we talked about the top two lines.
It goes from...
It finds a stick, he just can't find the net.
That too. It's just, there's just, since he's been here, I feel like there's been a lot of butchered opportunities with him. It's weird.
See, the sad part is too, he said there's a potential that these top two lines can negate each other and it's all going to come down to lines 3 and 4. And there it is. There's your opportunities. Who like him in years past would just have wide ass open shots and whiff? What's his name at the end? The older guy. God. Not Lucic.
Who?
The old guy.
The old guy?
It wasn't a Ginla. It was another guy that just had so many open looks, especially in the playoffs, and just right there would whiff. Miss the entire freaking net. It'll come to me.
Okay, you keep thinking about I don't know what old guy you're talking about.
Not old, but he ain't a kid.
617-779-0985. We'll talk about the goaltending last night and Tuukka Rask's play. He obviously was not set up for success by the guys playing in front of him. What did the coach, Bruce Cassidy, say about Tuukka after the game? You'll hear it coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Listen, you want your goalie to stop everything? Breakaways, breakdowns. So I'm not going to put any of this on Tuukka. I'll state the obvious. Yeah, we would have liked the breakaways, the penalty shot save. Might be a different game. Their best player. My estimation scores a goal. Plenty of time to come back. Right after that, power play hits the post, coil. Maybe it's a different game. We give up the next breakaway. I think that was our, you know, breakdown there. And that was on us as a team. You know, we've been exposed by them on those breakaways. And you give up two, you know, three in a row that period. So shame on us. So I don't want to put this on Tuukka.
Head coach Bruce Cassidy not putting it on Tuukka Rask last night, and he's right. He's completely right.
Sequentially, he nailed it. That's it. That was the game right there. Sequence.
The guy you were thinking of, Zoe, is Rich Peverly.
Thank you!
Frank the Tank texted. It's Rich Peverly.
Yeah, I mean, I met an older guy, not a young guy.
Plexiglass Peverly.
Always had that freaking guy set up and hit his stick, boom. Go over the net with nobody in it. Wide-ass open looks. Good. Those are good old days. Whew. Class, high class line.
The old guy.
He's a good guy, though,
as you called him.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. How did you think Tuukka played last night?
Thought he was okay.
He was fine.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the issue.
Nope, not right now. And guess what? People are freaking out, too, on a penalty shot where you're going down, you get it, or the breakaway, and you get a guy going one way or the other. You got to guess at that point. You're going left or right. These guys got skill. They can put the puck in a damn net. So I have no problem with that. What?
Oh, no. The breakaway and then the penalty shot. I thought that was ridiculous. I mean, in terms of Tuukka's play, you're going up against some really skilled guys. You got hung out a couple of times, but there's also enough there to where if you want to question a couple of instances, I get it. You know, earlier when you were talking about Charabito, and you said something like, you know, he looked old and slow, but you had misspoken, said Tuukka for a second. I'm like, I don't think Tuukka looked. But there were a couple of times last night where Tuukka looked, you know, as he is supremely focused in his positioning, as the way he plays, right? Position goaltender. You know, there are times when you've got to come out of the net. A little bit. You got to come out and take those angles down.
Not necessarily his style, though.
It's not his style.
Tim Thomas, his ass would be 5 feet out.
And look, when's the...
Sprawling everywhere.
You're not going to be looking at any shootouts in the playoffs, so you don't have to worry about that. Chances are you're not going to be looking at too many penalty shots. But there are going to be breakaways And there are going to be times when you have to come out of your crease just a tiny little bit, cut down an angle, and that's really not his game. And if it's going to, if it affects you now with Toronto, how's it going to affect you against the Lightning over the course of a seven-game series? Not well. I mean, those guys got snipers, too. They don't need to get that close. Kucherov doesn't need to be on top of you in order to score. But still, coming out of the crease a little bit and cutting down that angle would help in some of those circumstances. It's not his game. And we saw that again last night.
617-779-0985. Here's another answer from Bruce Cassidy. It was about David Pastrnak from last night. This is not letting a guy off the hook. This is sort of being critical of one of his players. Here's the coach.
Bruce, typically when things aren't going your way, puck management, things like that, you change up the lines.
Hold on. Hold on. There a reason? That our very own Ty Anderson asking the question?
Well, he polkified his voice, huh?
It sounds like
a hockey writer.
It sounds like him a little bit.
The question's not really about Pastrnak either.
Yeah, so I just was wondering, though, is that Ty Anderson? I think it might be. I think it might be. Let's have a listen.
Bruce, typically when things aren't going your way, puck management, things like that, you change up the lines. Was there a reason why you didn't really do that tonight?
You know, we lost Jake for a little bit, so that affected us a little in the second. So we moved past around a little bit with Coyle. But we're trying to get that top line going. You're still in the game. Regular season a little different than playoffs. You know, you're just trying to stick with it. So that's probably the biggest reason. And some of the guys that usually move around, listen, I didn't love their game. So when they're on, I'll move them around, double shift them. A couple of the guys that's happened to in the past, I didn't know if that would have helped them, to be honest with you. Some of that in season two ties to get their attention, reward other guys. We're now in the playoffs, right? There shouldn't be attention getting. It's about, hey, let's get out there and be better than the guy across from you. So that's part of the reason that we move guys up and down in the year. But now we want to settle in and get, you know, listen, of course we might move Pasta from one line to another. He did a little bit, but like I said, I didn't think he had his best game tonight. Didn't have his legs under him. So for whatever reason, I just didn't use that club much tonight.
Yeah, I didn't make changes because I didn't think the guys were playing well enough.
Right.
Yeah, things I like to do typically I wouldn't do because the guys weren't really there.
And if guys accelerating and popping, you move him from line to line, or you'll put him on a line to inject some energy into that line. That's not the case with him. And if you're going to rip the goalie like you have in weeks past, you better get on a guy like Pastrnak.
Oh, it's so bad. It's like a parent. It really is. Like, what? I'm not mad. I'm disappointed.
I'm mad. He just didn't play his best. He's trying to couch it there because, I mean, it's usually one game. You're good. You don't freak out after one game.
Usually you're good, but tonight you weren't even worth making a change with because you just weren't good.
We shouldn't have to get their attention in the playoffs is the biggest thing that I took out of that.
Maybe he's not trying to. Maybe he's just being honest. You got to remember that. Bruce Cassidy is brutally honest, like many in the sport are, and he just sort of lays it all out there. That's what he does.
So why is their team ready to go? Their team is ready to switch, flip a switch and elevate their play because it's the playoffs? Does that team earn that? You're the better team. Now, they may have better athletes, but you have ways you can wear them down. You had no answer for them last night. And do you think when Cassidy was asked that question, he looks over and there's Ty Anderson sitting there?
It's just...
How'd this kid get in here?
It's just weird. David Pastrnak...
He addressed him by name.
Did you hear Felger the other night on the off-air show?
David?
No.
Real quick, he did the off-air show with Ty Anderson. Brings him in. Hey, Mike Felger here. Sitting next to me, NBCSports.com's Ty Anderson, hockey writer. For NBC, he goes, I work with you.
I did see that, yeah.
And I go, the ultimate.
Ty posted that.
Pure Felger human element, completely unaware of everybody in the building.
At least he knows his name.
He does.
He called Adam Jones Drew for the first like 5 years he knew him.
Oh, McCone. Poor McCone.
So, I know, I forget what the hell I was going to say.
Eh. Damn it, so.
I know.
617-779-0985. Jeff is in Rhode Island. Jeff.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
You tell us.
All right, so, I mean, I don't want to be, like, overly dramatic, obviously, yeah. But I thought that the Bruins really had no heartbeat last night. And to be honest with you, I know you guys were kind of tough on DeBrusk a little bit earlier, but I kind of give him a pass because usually, you know, every game that
How are we tough on DeBrusk?
Earlier, you guys were saying that DeBrusk kind of, you know, he had a tough game, and, you know, obviously he gave up the penalty shot.
He got nicked up.
Yeah, which was pretty much the end of the game. It's a pretty major mistake.
Yeah, but Well, obviously the pass on the power play, I don't know if the guy kind of like really passed it tough to him. That's a tough pass to handle. And that, there was a guy pretty much on him. So I kind of give him a pass on that. And, you know, not for nothing, later in the game, Kadri gave him a pretty tough hit. And he came back on the bench and he was actually going at it with Kadri. And I actually kind of saw that as like a little bit of a positive. I'm like, oh, at least we got one player with a heartbeat.
Yeah, I'm not giving out credit for having a heartbeat in game one of the playoffs.
Well, I'm not giving out credit for being checked hard into the boards and being upset about
it. He showed up. He showed up. He wanted to play a game. And along the way, he made a mistake that led to a penalty shot that led to that being the game winner.
Hang out with the boys.
Game was over at that point. Come on. When do you start giving out awards for having a heartbeat when the playoffs begin? So I guess comparatively speaking to the rest of his teammates, yeah, he had a great night. Like, yeah, he was awesome. Had a heartbeat. Credit. Give him credit.
He's likable. People don't want to rip him.
I know he's likable. He's awesome. We had him on the show quite a few times.
No one's saying he's
very likable.
No one's saying
TNR,
he sucks.
All that good stuff.
No one's saying he even sucked last night, but he didn't have a great game. He didn't have a good game. Who on the Bruins had a good game last
night?
There you go. And he was one of the guys that was looked upon as being a game changer in this series and in this postseason based on the way he's been playing. How did he change the game last night? Negatively.
So back to Pasternak for a minute. Cassidy said didn't have his legs or wasn't moving the way that he typically moves. What causes that when you're 22 years old, you had a layoff, and you're getting ready for game one of the playoffs? Where does that come from?
Yeah, you feel it. I always say we had.
You know what they say, bad for the legs. Not supposed to be doing that the night before.
That was. I mean, he's got a history of, you know, having a lot of dinners. So, what was that all about?
That was Animal from the Muppets.
Yeah, you feel it.
Yeah, that. I don't know. Like, what was that? What's his excuse?
I don't know.
Chara's, you know, been doing it for decades. So, you know, you look at that and
Chara needs help. Chara needs help.
Guy needs some help here. Didn't have a good start.
Gotta hang us on Chara.
Pasternak, what's his problem?
I don't know. I've never understood why
He didn't have his legs.
He
didn't have
what?
His legs.
The few day layoff you get between the end of the regular season and the start of the postseason. Yeah. I've never understood that as an excuse. Now, for an older player,
too much rest.
Like for the older guys and their defensemen, big guys, you know, Chara among them. Okay, they need to skate every day. I get it, and they need to kind of keep that. But for the young guys, what? You got a couple extra days, and that impacts you in a negative way to the point where your coach mentions it. I've never been on board with that. I don't get it.
JP in Providence. Hey, JP.
Beetle, so quick question before the hockey question. You going down to Mr. Sid's getting a Don Cherry outfit for the games back in Toronto or something a little new for Saturday night?
Zoe?
No.
Hey.
Okay. You know, I'm watching that game. I'm with you, Beetle. It's like the Celtics
don't sell that crap, Aaron.
When you can't watch them. I couldn't watch that last period. They look slow, but they look like jittery, like a bunch of rookies. They cannot play that bad. Next game, it can't be that bad. They all look like they've never seen the playoffs before. I couldn't believe it.
So this is always an interesting question for me. How do coaches handle bad, so bad starts like that? Game one, do you spend a lot? If you're Bruce Cassidy today, do you spend a lot of time reviewing that game?
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
I do.
I'd burn the tape. I'd have a ceremonial burning of the tape right there in front of everybody.
Show that cross ice pass.
Not an actual tape anymore. I'd take the memory card and I'd burn the memory card.
I disagree. Show them at cross ice pass about 20 times.
It's not as dramatic.
Same type of display.
I mean, show them at cross ice pass.
Take the whole laptop.
What the hell? Look at our space.
Or iPad or whatever the hell it's on these days and put it right there in the fire and say, put it behind you. We're not going to go back and review this.
Office space.
We're starting over. We're going to pretend that didn't even happen.
You guys see
this? Put it behind you.
See this thumb drive?
And start showing up.
Somebody, here, break that for me. Trying to make a point.
Richie.
Bend the part of the USB port. Just bend the USB part of it so it won't go in. Do that.
Damn, it feels good.
Taking the fax machine out with the baseball bat. Fax machine. I don't even think those really exist anymore.
Gangster ass.
617-779-0985. What did the crew on Toronto Radio have to say last night? They must be thrilled. They must be making their plans for Tampa already. Make a Bonesy, get your flights ready. Get your hotels.
Go to Doolin Piano.
That might be happening. We'll hear from those guys next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Draw a scrum by Tavares. He gets the puck along the boards, trying to get it to the point. Muzzin shot! Hit the goalpost! Rebound! Scores! I don't know if it's Hyman who finally taps it in, or it's Marner from the right wing side after it hit the post, but the Leafs have tied the game.
And this was after a hard-fought face-off win. Puck goes to the left wing boards. And Tavares is the one that's able to get there first. He chips it back to the point.
Maple Leafs Radio Network last night up in Canada.
I don't know who the play-by-play guy is. That's Sonny.
It's Joe Bowen, Mr. Bowen.
Sonny Jurgensen on a color after they wake him up from his catatonic state.
So it's on the radio broadcast for the Maple Leafs, Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph. Joe and Jim, or Bonesy and Ralph?
You know, Jim Ralph.
Yeah, Bonesy and Ralph here.
Tommy Toolbag.
Joe and Jim, or Bonesy and Ralph, whatever you prefer. It's Jim and Joe.
What do you think,
Joe,
they, what do you think they eat when they go out? Like, what do you
Mr.
think
Bones,
they
Mr. Bones, let's go out there.
Oh, soup? Soup? Huh?
Get the chowder.
A little fettuccine Alfredo.
I get the chowder.
I like the Alfredo. Carb up.
Anybody know of a good back bacon place in Boston?
No, but they do. I heard
What's
someplace.
What's Toronto known for food? Anything?
Oh, you name it, you know? We got back bacon parmesan, back bacon burger. You're going to have a back bacon and eggs. It's all about the back bacon. All right, so this is the Marner goal. You ready for this? This,
yep.
This is the shootout
goal. This kid's
goal.
Pretty good. This kid's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Toronto Bruins killer.
Toronto radio call.
Unbelievable.
Here we go. What did I say?
Toronto radio call.
Toronto
of the
radio
shootout
call.
Goal.
Marner.
Of the shootout. Penalty. The penalty.
I know what you meant.
Yeah. All right.
And here's Mitch Marner going from left to right. Right-handed shot. Gathers some speed and collects the puck and moves to the left wing side of the blue line. Cuts to the middle. Deeks shoots and scores! He took Rask down and his jockstrap is in the corner of the rink.
Bonesy, you filthy animal, you.
You people.
It's Bonesy.
Can you lose your jockstrap when you essentially just stay in the same position and then drop into that position? To me, the jockstrap stays on.
I at least keep it on one leg.
That,
like when you get shook out of it, like, oh, it almost comes off, but like not that far.
I mean, just for like clarity's sake, did he fake Rask out of his jock strap on that shot?
Not really.
Even
no,
a jock
I wouldn't
strap.
Describe no, it
I don't
that
think
way.
Wears a jock strap.
He lulled him to sleep, and it was look, it's beautiful. He's practically in the crease by the time he shot it. The fact
he
that
touched
he's
the puck twice in the crease, he switched in the crease.
But that, but was Rask like? Oh,
no, he just kept going further back in the goal.
Jock strap.
I'm sorry, that one's on Rask. That one's on Rask.
That was a very, very skilled, patient.
It was an extremely skilled, but it was almost
shot.
Like it's textbook when you put it up there in a video and you have an 8 or 9 year old that just started skating. And here, kids, this is what you do. Stay middle, little left, little right, little left, off the stick, left, right, and then whoosh, loop it around the goalie.
But you understand, I'm not that interesting.
Because it wasn't like he was sprawled out and he did that sucker top corner.
I don't want to critique Rask on this. I want to critique the call, and they're wrong.
He took Rask down, and his jock strap is in the corner of the ring.
Yeah, that is an embellishment of the facts.
Yeah, that's not what happened at all.
That is
Turner, a right-handed shot. Alex to go down the left wing. A little bit of stick handling, and he gets to within, what, 8 inches of Tuukka Rask in the blue paint?
A little bit
but
of stick handling.
But did he take him down? How'd he take him down if you only got within 8 inches?
Now that sort of goes the other way.
Right.
They need to find their middle ground, these two, Joe and Jim, Bonesy and Ralph.
I think the one guy should take, get his head off the computer and stop looking up things online while the other guy's calling a game. Oh, maybe didn't miss it. Oh, look at this replay.
It's good, good advice for anybody who's on the air.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the breakaway goal here. Once again, Toronto radio.
Puck back of the Toronto goal.
Back.
Why's it got to be back? Puck back.
Puck back to the Toronto goal.
Puck back of the Toronto goal. Fed up on the wing for Crate or for the Leafs. Now to.
Well, what happened there?
I don't know.
What happened there, Joe?
Think about the people we've had call games around here.
Oh, but we've been spoiled.
Spoiled.
Between.
Doesn't even matter. Jack, Dale.
Gosher and Judd.
Gosher, Judd, and please. All call great hockey games. They paint a picture. This guy said it went bulk.
Puck back of the Toronto goal. Fed up on the wing for Crate or for
Krejci.
The Leafs. Now to Nylander's got a breakaway and a goal. Scores! Holy Mackinac! It's Nylander and it's 3-1.
Don't tell me that was the Nylander goal off the pass from Quatre. Was it?
I don't know.
Tell me they missed that call.
I don't know. Don't know what happened.
The play of the game?
Play it again.
The Leafs now to Nylander's got a breakaway and a goal. Scores!
That's it.
That's
it.
That's the play you're talking about.
Oh, no, it's perfectly set up with the cross ice passes.
Well, he's talking about Krejci.
Frickin' dime.
Back of the Toronto goal, fed up on the wing for Krejci or for the Leafs. Now to Nylander's got a breakaway.
He missed
goal.
It. He missed all of it.
He missed it. Fed up on the wing.
He meant to say Kadri. He said Krejci, and he got screwed up.
Yeah. Totally, that's
what was better during that play, the pass or the actual goal? I'll go with the pass.
Holy Mackinac!
By the way, I'm from Michigan. No one says Holy Mackinac.
What did they say? Holy Lutefisk?
What's the Mackinac you know? Mackinac Island?
Macadamia
Mackinac
Nuts.
Mackinac Bridge?
I like Macadamia Nuts.
Is there any other Mackinac? No one says that.
Nylander, and it's 3-1!
Oh, it sounds dead. That place sounds just dead.
Well, what a pass for the left wing side.
Wake up!
There you go.
All right, here it is.
Color guy goes in on the pass.
Well, what a pass for the left wing side onto the stick of Nylander, who's in full flight on the right wing side.
Color guy's actually doing his job.
Ralph.
Sorry.
Joe Ralph.
Jim Ralph.
All right, finally.
Finally.
Final call. I don't think this has anything to do with the empty netters, so we'll just get the final call here.
Moore to the sideboards, fourth line out there, working here, centering pass, as the horn goes to end the game. And the Toronto Maple Leafs will take a 1-0 lead in the series on the strength of 2 Mitch Marner goals and tallies from Nylander and Tavares into an empty net.
From a Leafs standpoint, and I don't know how much you want to put into the Boston Bruins, not looking nearly as aggressive as we've seen them in game ones in this building. But the Leafs were able to play a nice, patient game. And I think when everything is said and done, and that's what I said just a little earlier, Bonesy, was...
Bonesy.
Bonesy, I don't want to jinx it, but what I was saying a little earlier is the price line's looking good for Tampa right now.
That's what I said just a little earlier, Bonesy, was Boston ends up with 38 shots on goal, but they had 29 at the end of the second, and they had a couple of Hail Marys late in the final minute.
5 in a second.
And Shatner says, even better than a Hail Mary is naming your own price or getting a car rental.
I don't know about you, Bonesy. He says, you guys are having problems with names, which is unfortunate for on the radio.
Yeah. It's bit of a thing.
And I think when everything is said and done, and that's what I said just a little earlier, Bonesy was...
Bonesy?
Yes, Joe.
I like Bonesy. The call hockey game.
Sorry, I don't even tickle your funny, Bonesy. There, Bonesy.
I like the call hockey game. Just see how bad I would be. Just to see how
Boston ends up with 38 shots on goal, but
Coming
up next.
Hold on, here's the emphasis.
We're giving away a $100 gift card to the Under Armour Brand House. We will do that next. And also, an update from Fenway Park last night and the Red Sox winning in walk-off fashion. All that on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the bases are loaded for the Red Sox and Rafael Devers. Nunez, the key man at third. Here's the 2-1. Ground ball chopped and into right field, and the Red Sox win it. They walk it off tonight. Devers, the star. His first career walk-off RBI, and the Red Sox win it 7-6.
I know that many of us were not paying close attention to the Red Sox last night, but at least this team has this going for it.
Got balls that they hang around.
They don't quit.
Yep.
They really don't.
No, even out west when they were getting their ass kicked, they hung in there and tried to make games interesting.
Do you know that they have either been tied or trailed in the sixth inning of every game they've played so far?
I believe that. It feels that way.
That includes
that
the now four games they've won, which should tell you something, that at least, at the very least, you could say this about that team. They don't give up in the late innings. They've got plenty of other things you can pick at. They have not been mentally at their best. They haven't played focused. They've made mistakes in the field. They've made mistakes on the base paths. They've screwed up plenty over the last couple of weeks to start the year. But last night, you get a little bit of luck on that Moreland hit. Little bit of luck, because I don't understand how that wasn't caught, but it wasn't. I went back and looked at it again this morning because I thought, oh, was the center fielder playing shallow? He wasn't. He didn't go very far, and he just didn't make the catch on the warning track. I don't know. Thought he'd be better positioned to make a catch. So you get a little bit of luck there. Good at bat by Moreland.
Hell of an at bat. Hell of an at bat.
I mean, really good at bat. Keep that at bat alive.
Right. Regardless of how lucky he was on the actual hit, the at bat was phenomenal.
And I think maybe the underrated part of the night, which I think is probably, I saw it starting to get some attention today. I think Alex Speer wrote about it. But Eduardo Nunez, jelly knee himself, knew that he could get into the game and went and looked at video in the middle of the game on potential relievers. And when he stole third, he did so having looked at video earlier in the night, trying to find something in the delivery and the windup or anything to do on the mound.
Or maybe video of that particular pitcher never checking second base, because I don't think he ever looked back there. He didn't even check to see where he was.
So he did. So he found something. He wouldn't say where. He wouldn't say what he saw. But he was able to steal. He was able to steal third because he went and asked Alex Cora, or asked whoever it is handling video, if he could get some video of Ken Giles midway through the game.
So I was going to ask, is this on him or is it above him?
He said, I'm ready. He told Corey he was ready to run, and then he went and looked at video of Giles.
So this goes to show you, maybe the other day woke their ass up a little bit to have a guy that steals home on you, because Chris Sale has this long delivery. You get a good lead. Devers is out to lunch on third. Hey, teams are doing it on us. Why don't we do it to them? That's good awareness then. Maybe from an, I don't want to say concentration standpoint, but maybe now, okay, let's start looking at games. Let's start looking at in-game things we can do to make ourselves better.
Cora,
if that fell on him, on jelly knee, then that's good. I like to see it. I'm glad. Glad he asked it still.
So Cora said after the game that it was his call. It was his read. It was all on Nunez. And Nunez talked after the game and said that we needed to challenge them. We haven't been playing well. We haven't been winning. We needed to challenge them, and we needed to beat them. We needed to challenge them and force them to beat us, which, you know what it sounds like? Sounds like the 2018 Red Sox. I mean, it's the same team. It just sounds like the type of thing you'd hear out of those guys last year. So there's a little bit of that swagger back. There's a little bit of that smarts back. I mean, that's smart play. And, all right, hey, they're 4-9. Their record stinks. They've played a lot of bad baseball.
Yeah, Baltimore coming, baby.
I just look at last night, and I think maybe that's what the jumping off point is. Maybe that's the thing that they can get rolling on. Xander Bogaerts, I saw him after the game, so we can go home and sleep now.
No, it's good stuff there.
Okay, which tells you Alex Cora telling everyone that they're not frustrated is not true, because there are players in there that are feeling it a little bit. David Price admitted that. Now you get Xander Bogaerts saying, you know, I could finally go home and sleep for a night and feel good leaving the ballpark. So maybe the tide is turning a little bit on this Red Sox team. And we said on Monday, we bitched about this team on, well, Tuesday after they played on Monday, and said, wait, am I getting my days confused? What day was opening day?
Longest,
what day were you at Fenway? Tuesday.
Freaking weekend.
So Wednesday, we complain about them on Wednesday. They come back Thursday night. We said the time to start winning is now. They get down 5-0 last night. Maybe they sensed it. They sensed the spot they were in. They played with some urgency, and they turned their crap around, and the tide has started to turn on this team, which could be. You got to follow it up with a little bit more. But I look at last night, and I say, hey, good for them.
But look at the guys in those spots, though. And it's Moreland again coming through to get that thing going.
Where would they be without him?
Jesus. And maybe this is the point for Cora where, okay, guys, this is what we did. We don't talk about being world champs last year. You know, we got our rings. That's done. We're not going to refer to that. But if we have these type of moments that happen where Nunez goes and recognizes something, studies something, this is what got us to be those world champs. This is what made us that type of team last year. We just need more of this stuff this year to continue and roll that over without talking about a championship. We're done with the top championship talk. Now it's about trying to fix this team. The nice thing is these are all the players from last year. So this isn't somebody new having to be taught it. Now let's go. Start hitting, start pitching. Who pitches next? Is it Price? No.
No, Erod tonight, right?
Erod.
Well, wait a minute, because he had a day off.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be Erod. What do you expect out of him tonight?
Hopefully he doesn't give up a hit to Chris
Davis.
That's
what I'm saying. Can you imagine that? One of the worst contracts in baseball comes in and takes you deep twice.
Starting pitching, still garbage. Home run, still a problem. It was a problem last night for Eovaldi.
We got Erod tonight. We got Porcello tomorrow afternoon. Mm-hmm. And David Price on Sunday.
Against another bad baseball team.
This team's awful.
Bad, bad
baseball. If you don't sweep this weekend, you got issues.
And you got the Yankees next week.
What a gift. What a gift the American League is. What a gift it is to just be
in a league. What a soft schedule to open with, though.
To be in a league where so many teams are so bad that every time you turn around, you're playing another bag of crap.
That's really
what it's come down to.
Playing against lineups every night that you don't know 30%.
I know the Yankees are next week. That's a real team.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Oh, actually, like, this is a 4-game set. So Sales got Monday, Orioles on Monday. Yeah. So
if they play,
sweep.
If they play,
right? No game. No chance of a game Monday.
Weather's still not looking great for Monday.
Hasn't budged.
As I mentioned, we are giving away a $100 gift card to the Under Armour Brand House for caller 10 right now on the contest line, 617-931-0985. That's the Pride Motor Group contest line, not your normal call-in number, 617-931-0985. You will score a $100 gift card for the Under Armour Brand House at the Prue. Get your last-minute running gear or watching gear and spend Marathon Monday with UA and watch the race from their viewing bays near the finish line. Caller 10 right now will win those. Also last night at Fenway, a weird, weird event in that there was a drone flying over the ballpark. It was sort of strange. We'll touch on that next. Also get back to your Bruins calls as well. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.